So it's really good to be up here. If you don't know, my name is Ron, and I've been here since last century here at Unity of Walnut Creek. And I have a question for you. How many Law and Order fans do we have here? Law and Order fans do we have here? Awesome. Yeah, the TV show. Well, if you're a Law and Order fan, you know what I'm talking about. Great. There wasn't one single Law and Order fan at the last service. So thank you for being here. So the reason why I bring that up, because I'm a Law & Order fan myself, but the tagline for Law & Order is, our stories are ripped from the headlines. And so what the writers do is they see a headline that's interesting, and they create a story from that headline. The reason why I say that is because my last few talks, Sunday talks, have been ripped from the headlines of Ron Salazar. I don't really do books, and so my last few have just been using me as an example on my spiritual path to what I want to talk about. So today I'm going to talk about me. So the last 2 years, 2.5 years, have been probably the most difficult 2 years of my life since I've been sober. And it's okay. It really is okay. But they have. They've been really challenging. So I'm going to tell you what happened in those last 2 years. Okay? So on December 12th, 2022, I was sitting at work, and I got this intense attack of wooziness like I've never felt before in my life, with a little pain right here, right? So a couple hours later, I drive myself to the emergency room, and they put me in a hospital overnight for observation because they thought I could be having a cardiac event, right? They don't call it a heart attack anymore. It's a cardiac event. I didn't. In fact, we found out that my heart was impressive. And that's what he said. That's what the cardiac said. Anyway, so, but they couldn't figure out why I was having these attacks of wooziness. So for the next 5 months, my primary doctor and I tried to figure this out. And I kept telling him it was my thyroid, and he kept saying no. So he kept sending me to specialists. And one of these specialists was an ear, nose, and throat doctor. And this doctor said, well, we can't find the cause of your wooziness, but we found that your right ear is filled with liquid and we can drain it and you can hear better. I said, great. The second he drained my ear, I got tinnitus. And so ever since that moment, every word I speak is accompanied with a reverberation in my right ear. In May of 2023, my employer hired a new manager, and my new manager was watching me go through this illness that everybody, all the people knew I was sick at work, but they said, keep coming, so I did. And she decided that I couldn't handle the job, so she was on the road to fire me, and she started to bully me. So I got a lawyer by some advice of some friends, and for the next 5 months, my lawyer and I fought my employer, and they could not find a way legally to fire me, even though they kept telling me every week that I was a horrible employee and they didn't want me back. So, January 1st, 2024, they eliminated my job. Then, in April of 2024, I found out that I had prostate cancer. So we made an appointment to have my prostate removed on June 17th, 2024. Then, on June 1st, I was at the Little Feet, Tedeschi, and Trucks concerts, two of my favorite bands, and the meniscus in my left knee tore. So now I'm dealing with trying to be able to walk to the hospital to get my prostate removed. Everything went well. I went through I went through recovery after the surgery, and they wheeled me into my hospital bed, and I got a phone call. Now, my aunt, who is the caretaker of my 97-year-old mom, who has Alzheimer's, 3,000 miles away because they live in South Carolina, that she had a stroke. So I'm lying in bed with a couple other good family members arranging caregiving for my mom, and this went on for over 2 weeks while I was rehabbing for my prostate cancer removal and my torn meniscus. Why was I not melting, right? Why wasn't I doing what the Wicked Witch of the West did?
How about a little fire, Scarecrow? Huh?
Anybody ever felt like that? So why was I not doing that? And I began to realize that it was because I was conscious of my God. I was conscious of the divine oneness within me. I was conscious of the divine oneness within all of us. We all have oneness within us. Right? And so it's been a long journey since I've gotten sober back in 1988. But that journey included becoming more conscious and more conscious of my oneness, of my God. Can we do two? And what I noticed is that I started to do the principles, right? So these are the principles of unity that are up on the screen and the paintings on the wall, right? These five principles. You know, the first one being that there's only one presence and one power active in the universe and in my life. And then that's what I was doing on my spiritual path, right? And then the next one says, our essence of God, therefore we are inherently good. That part, that's what I was also becoming aware of, to be conscious of. Because I didn't know that I was inherently good for the first 35 years of my life, right? And then we become co-creators. Because once we know that there's a goodness out there that we are part of, we're not connected to, right? Understand there is no connection, because connections can be broken. We are oneness. That's our essence of who we are. Dude's got a Led Zeppelin shirt. Awesome. I'm sorry, but I just saw a Zeppelin over there. Sorry. I got distracted. See? Oneness, right? Dude, come to church and he's wearing a Zeppelin shirt. That's awesome. Co-creating. And then... And then the fourth is prayer and meditation, which I know you do at least once a week because you're here, right? And then through thoughts, words, and actions have the truth we know, or we live the truth we know. That's living the principles, right? And so Unity didn't start talking about the five principles until about 10 years ago, right? And maybe a little after that. But when I got trained to be a licensed Unity teacher, we never learned about the five principles. That wasn't part of Unity speak at that point. Right? And so when they came up with when they started to show the five principles and started to teach them, I already knew it. I went, oh, that's what I am, right? Because it's inherent. it's inherent in us, these five principles, to know the oneness within us, right? And how do we take them off the wall and incorporate them in us? It's like I said, we don't. They're just there. They're just part of who you are, right? And can we get three, please? And so, since I'm talking about myself, I'm going to talk about me again. And my path to this place I'm standing here in front of you today started out with therapy, right? I started out with therapy to get rid of the beliefs, the self-false beliefs that I brought from my Catholic upbringing in my home and my parents' upbringing. Whether their intent was to give me these false beliefs isn't the issue. The issue is I had them. It's what I believed about me, right? And so therapy was about getting rid of those false beliefs. Then I got sober, and I became part of the 12-step spiritual path. And the first 10 steps from the 12 steps was about me starting to believe in my God, not my mom's or dad's or the church's or whatever, but my God. And then it was also that I'm worthy of my God, right? That I'm worthy of my God's love, right? Then I found unity, and we started to talk about the consciousness, being conscious of God. And can you put that back up, please? And so step 11 was always there for me, but when I joined Unity, it really shined for me. Step 11 says, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, right? And so that took it from outside into me, right? And I understand that me doing this 11th step every day was part of my spiritual maintenance, and I didn't even know it, right? It was part of opening up my consciousness to the goodness that was within me, right? And then the second part, praying only for the knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. God's will, when I came into Unity, became our will, right? Because I began to understand that I had a oneness with God. So if God had a will, I was part of it. And so thy will became our will, right? And then having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to our brothers and sisters and to practice these principles in all our lives. In other words, to express yourself, to express the God within you, right? To be you, right? Amy Grant has a song called All I Have to Be, and the verse says, all I have to be is me. That's all we have to be, is us. And so as we uncover, or if when we move toward the consciousness of the oneness within us, we get to express God without even knowing it, right? So we talked about a Unity Village. I went there a little while ago. Let's see. That's what this shirt's all about. The Fillmore Cafe, which is on the Unity Village. So I went there to a festival. It's called the Fillmore Festival. And we were celebrating Myrtle and Charles. And also, it's the 100th anniversary of the Daily Word. If anybody reads the Daily Word, it's their 100th anniversary this year. And so I got there the first day halfway through dinner, and I walked into this room with about 70 people that I had no connection with, none. I didn't know a soul. I didn't know anybody. Even names, I just had no connection. And I started to freak. And then I realized that they came here for the same thing I did. And I realized a room full of Unity people, who are really cool people, by the way, right? Can I get a yo, bro? Yo. And they were there to celebrate the Fillmores just like me. So I decided to let all of my walls down. Just decided to let all my walls down and just to express God the way God wants to come through me. And so that's what I did for 2.5 days. And it was wonderful, me being a licensed teacher and doing these talks, that most of the people there were either Unity ministers or spiritual teachers, right? And I fit right in. I just felt really comfortable within this group of people. And so the last Sunday, or the last breakfast was on Sunday, and I wanted to go and have breakfast with somebody I connected with, right? And this woman who had been a Unity minister for over 50 years, and she spent some of her childhood growing up in Unity Village. Her parents were contemporaries of Charles and Myrtle. She asked me to have breakfast with her, and there was all these people I knew, and now I have to have breakfast with this woman that I don't know. But I went with it. So we started talking and having conversation, and she says to me, "You're a spiritual leader, aren't you?" And I looked at her and I said, well, first I said yes. And if anybody knows me, you know that yes took a long time to come out. And then I said, "How'd you know?" She said, "Because of the way you are," right? And it was because I expressed God within me, right? It's like the guy in the Led Zeppelin shirt over here, right? It's me, right? And that's who she saw. And so when we talk about the five principles, it's you don't have to go look for them. You don't have to do A, B, and C, or go to a book study or a Bible study. Those things are great. Don't get me wrong, they're not. But what we need to do is bring them to our consciousness, right? And how do we do that? We do that by spiritual maintenance. And what is spiritual maintenance? That's up to you, right? It's up to your heart what spiritual maintenance is, right? I have a habit that I say every morning before I take my head off the pillow and every night when my bed hits the pillow. And I say, "Thank you, Father, for a great day. Thank you, Father, for a wonderful day." Now, if we have any ex-Catholics here, don't freak out. But because the term Father comes from my Catholic upbringing, right? And which I don't believe in that God anymore, right? And then Father, my own human father, was the antithesis of who God is. You know, he didn't have the ability to express his God, right? And so I don't know how a term of endearment for oneness, God, love, goodness, in my brain turned out to be Father. But it just did. And so I go with it, right? That's part of spiritual maintenance, right? If you take in the beauty of wherever you are, that's spiritual maintenance. If you're having a hard day and you just go, that's spiritual maintenance, right? If you're listening to "In My Time of Dying," yeah, that's spiritual maintenance. If you don't know, that's my favorite Zeppelin song, You know, but whatever it is that connects to your heart, that connects to the oneness that you are, that's spiritual maintenance, right? And the reason why I'm not pulling a Wicked Witch of the West is because I've been doing that, right? The reason why I can do these principles is because of my spiritual maintenance. And I know a lot of you, and I knew, and I know you're moving on the same spiritual path, right? So, in the clip we showed earlier about the Wicked Witch of West, she says this. She says, "Who could have thought a good little girl like you could destroy all my wickedness?" Right? My beautiful wickedness. And Unity believes that wickedness, which is evil, is the absence of God. That's all it is. It's nothing else but the absence of God. And so the Wicked Witch of the West, she was not conscious at all of her God, right? She thought her wickedness was beautiful. And of course she's going to think that, because that's who she is. Well, that's who she thinks she is. And then Dorothy comes along, this good little girl, and throws plain water on her, and the wickedness melts. Right? And so that's what we do when we connect with our oneness within us, with the God within us. You know, when this film was made in 1939, that was contemporary of the Film Wars. The Film Wars used, in Unity Speak, they used the word goodness for God, right? And now here this is in the same time period, she's saying, how could this goodness wreck my wickedness, right? Well, that's how it gets wrecked, right? Because when we are conscious of our goodness, our wickedness goes away. Our wickedness melts away, right? And so that's how we get through the really hard parts of our life, right? That's how, when we come to a hurdle on our spiritual path, we don't go around the hurdle. We can, if we choose to go around the hurdle, but what happens when you go off the hurdle? I mean, when you walk around the hurdle? Yeah, right. You go off your spiritual path, and you don't get the knowledge or the lesson that you would if you don't go through the hurdle. And so that's what spiritual maintenance is about. You know, that's what goodness is about. That's who we are as Unity folk, right? And so whatever you do, no matter how many times a day or one time a day, it just keeps opening up, right? It's like a door that's always open, and all you have to do is open the door. When I was younger, I thought, I saw myself, my true self, as someone in my heart in a cage, in a cell. And the cell door was locked. And I'm like holding onto the bars, watching life go by, right? And then on my spiritual path, early, I heard something, and I turned, and it was Jesus sitting there, right? And I said, when did you get here? He said, I've always been here. I said, oh. I said, well, how do I get out of here? He goes, well, you've always been able to get out of here. I said, how? It's locked. He goes, no, it's not. Push the door open. And I did. And I'm standing before you today. You know, and it, just for the newcomers to Unity, when I say Jesus, we at Unity look at Jesus as the example, not the exception. Right? So we see Jesus as a spiritual teacher, right? Not as God, just one of us. And so that's what I want for you, is I just want you to keep on your path. No matter where you are on your path, it doesn't matter, because you're going to keep walking it, and it'll get better and better. If you would have said these seven items to me like 10 years ago, I don't know where the hell I've been. Excuse me, I'm gonna swear. I don't know where the heck I've been, right? But today it's okay, you know? My knee's really bothering me right now, and I was afraid I was gonna fall or something, but I didn't, right? You know, my plumbing's a little goofy right now, but that's okay. You know, I think that was the hardest part about this whole journey, is like I was embarrassed because my plumbing's off. Give me a break. So, you know, this is what I want to say to you is just keep going. Doesn't matter where you are. Just keep going. Just keep showing up for yourself. And it'll get better. And you'll find your God, your oneness, your truth, because it's there, and it's always been there, and it will always be there. There's one more really important thing, component of spiritual maintenance, and it's humor. So there's this politician. I should stop? So, unfortunately, he makes his transition. And he goes to heaven or the next plane or whatever, and he meets his guide, you know, St. Peter, his mother, Joe Montana, whomever it is. And his guide says, you came on a great day. He goes, you get to choose whether you want to spend eternity in heaven or hell. He goes, it doesn't matter what your life was like. It doesn't matter what you did. You get to choose which one you go. And the guy's just stunned. And his guide says, okay, we know it's a hard question, but this elevator is going to take you up to heaven. You can look around. We'll take you down to hell. And you can look around. You'll come back. So he does. He goes to heaven. And he opens it. It's just beautiful meadow with trees and people playing and singing and angels flying around, and it's really boring. So he gets back in the elevator and he goes down to hell. Doors open. It's this immaculate country club. And he steps out and he plays the best 18 holes he's ever played. That ball goes everywhere he wants it to go, right? No slices, no hooks, just exactly where he wants to put it. And then he goes to the banquet and he just meets all the good people, you know? Just everybody who thinks like him. He's just having a great time. So he goes back up to his guide and he goes, I don't know what to do. And his guide says, well, he says, we're going to put you up in a really nice hotel for the night, and you think about it, sleep on it, and you come back tomorrow and tell me what's going on. So he comes back the next day, and he walks up to his guide, and he goes, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I choose the eternity in hell. And the guy goes, great. Congratulations, step into the elevator and have a great eternal life. So the elevator starts to go down. It gets hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. And the doors open And it's Dante's Inferno. Fire everywhere, you know, people melting and the devil shows up to welcome them. And the guy says, politician says, what happened? Because yesterday this was a wonderful place to be. He goes, oh, yesterday was campaign day. So just know that spiritual maintenance is not campaign day. It'll take you to eternal heaven. Whatever that heaven is for you, you will be there every day. Peace be with you. Mm-hmm.